Life with Lederer. The interview.
Well, here I am about to offer my services for the seventh time this week to a prospective employer, and it's only Monday lunchtime. I thought it was about time I changed my job. Well, got a job, really, if we're being pedantic. So I'm in the proverbial corridor trying to size up the competition. I should just explain this particular job isn't a career move or anything, and nor were the other six, because I don't have a career to move from. No, it's just an opportunity to put back a little of what I've taken out of my piggy bank, particularly after last Christmas. Now, I made the mistake of telling this to the first job interviewer, who gave me a very funny look. He said, "Do you know how many people are out of work?" I said I did, because I've seen the council's updated statistics waving at me from a banner draped outside our local library. At first, I thought it was the library bragging about the number of people who held tickets, until I realised that libraries were the last people to get excited enough to make a banner about anything, let alone the unemployed. Anyway, he wasn't interested in all this theorising, told me not to waste his time and that he needed commitment, real commitment. I asked what kind of commitment he had in mind for this particular job, which just happened to be disinfecting his personal telephone receiver once a week, all tools to be provided, and he replied that he didn't know. All he knew for certain was that he didn't want me to do it, which was a bit hurtful. I was only trying to see if it was possible to get promoted after a certain number of successfully disinfected phones. I mean, I thought that perhaps if one kept one's head and even bought one's own Dettol, one might be promoted to cleaning the telephones twice a week. Who knows? Anyway, he said his word was his bond, and I believed him. I hadn't got the job. I saw who had, mind you, later on with her disinfectant trolley and hot pants, and thought they looked very nice together. So I'm not going to make the same mistake again. If one really wants the job, sitting down in a chatty way and sharing your thoughts with your employer is definitely not the right approach. It just tends to irritate them. And on some very rare occasions, like this morning, for instance, bore them rigid.
So, Helen, tell us a bit about yourself before we have a look at your CV.
Well, I was born in Elton about 30 years ago, and it was one of those funny summers. You know, not a drought exactly, but people were being warned about using their hoses, and we were very worried at the time about all the grass going on, but my parents were very diligent about making sure that we always had the water turned off at certain times. And I think people really worried, really, in our area, which was sort of southeast London, was that people were really upset about it at the time, things sort of sticking out and things like that. But I don't think that people really worried about it.
Sorry, Miss Lederer. I must have dropped off. So, tell me a bit about yourself before we have a look at your CV.
Well, oh, right, I just did, actually.
Oh, dear. Sorry, no can do then.
What do you mean?
I'm afraid we can't employ chatterboxes.
But you asked me a question, I simply answered it.
Nor can we have yes men. Initiative.
Oh.
That's what we need in the typing pool. And anyway, when our staff are allowed to talk, we try to get them to be a bit more interesting. Eltham, honestly.
Next.
So you see, employers definitely prefer interviewees to lie about everything from their shoe size to their desire, nay, passion for the job in question. That way people like Mr. Smith can feel important and powerful, and so can the employee for managing to dupe the old bastard. But sometimes my enthusiasm for life just sort of splurges out and I want to tell them everything I'm good at. However, it's best to resist this temptation if one feels that kind of mood coming on. It seems that the duckling diploma for swimming two lengths and a merit pass in pianoforte are not considered appropriate achievements and have on a few hurtful occasions been mocked. Now, the thing to say at these interviews on the way out, going down in the lift, is it's their loss.
It's their loss.
Sorry. Who's?
On the 10th floor. Can't remember his name.
Oh, that must be Mr. Stigwood's department. Oh, they won't mind. I'll just press 10th, if I may. I didn't think he'd pop it quite so soon. This could mean promotion.
Which revealed to me that office politics are the same as anywhere else. Kill or be killed. And make sure your gun is cocked, as Mae West would say. That was another of the six interviews which didn't bear fruit. But anyway, I'm quite hopeful about this one. It's just a stopgap. Phoning people up and doing market research shouldn't be too hard.
Mr. Granger will see you now, Helen.
Oh, right.
Do come in, Helen. Definitely shy.
All right, then. Boo!
Pardon?
I'm being not shy.
Hmm.
Right, this is Miss Percy, and she and I will just ask you a bit about yourself, that kind of thing.
Well, I don't come from Elton, that's what you're worried about.
No, no, we weren't at all, were we, Mr. Granger?
No, we were more interested in any previous experience.
Well, obviously I've been around. I mean, I'm not a virgin, if that's what you meant.
No, no, it wasn't, was it, Mr. Granger?
No, and I think that will be all for today.
Right, well, I think I'll change my strategy. It's time to study.
Yes. Good morning. And may I take this opportunity of welcoming you all to the first in this series of I Can and I Will workshops. Now, it's my first time here as group trainer, so I hope you'll be patient with me. I'm going to teach you how to present the best side of yourself in an interview situation, how to shine out as a calm, confident and balanced candidate who is bound to be selected above others because of the skills you've learned here with me today. Now, some of you who are sitting right up close might well be wondering why my hands are shaking, particularly as we haven't even started yet. But I'd just like to reassure you that I slammed my little finger in the car door this morning, which is why my hand is still shaking, and I think the other one must have come out in sympathy. Also, I've recently cut down on my drinking, which tends to manifest itself in what we call the DTs. Of a mild form, and while we're on the subject of DTs, there is a marvellous I Can and I Will course down the corridor for people who wish to drink less, or in my case, need to stop altogether. Right, so if we could go round the room and introduce ourselves with a quick hopes and fears opening up statement from you all, and we'll start the ball rolling, as it were. But please don't open up too much, because I can't cope with that kind of thing. I tend to cry. So, young man, shall we start with you? I hope you don't mind me calling you young. I know how important it is not to patronise at the initial stage of acquaintance, as it says on my notes.
Okay, I'm Simon, okay? And I've been looking for a job ever since leaving school, and I haven't got one yet. I don't know why, because I'm talented and almost a genius. I've got 18 O-levels and 10 A-levels. I'm handsome and terrific in bed. This being out of work really gives me the pip. Oh, there was something else I'm good at. Oh, yes, I lie a lot.
Thank you, Simon. I hope you don't mind me asking, but do you introduce yourself like this at job interviews?
Well, obviously I have to try and brag and boast a bit for the interviews.
Yes, right. Next?
I'm Helen, and I just want a temporary kind of job, really. I haven't had any luck this week. I tend to get the interviews, but not the actual job. I was wondering where I might be going wrong.
Yes, Do you mind me asking, Helen, do you wear that anorak to interviews, or is it just your workshop outfit?
Yes, I'm glad you noticed it. I have it dry cleaned after each interview to make sure it always looks spruce.
Right. Well, I'm hoping for someone from Richard Shops to drop over later for half an hour. Perhaps you'd like to move in with him or something until you get the general drift about fashion accessories. Perhaps we could all break for a cup of tea, or in my case, a cool glass of water and a wet wipe to calm down, while I work out what I'm going to say next, as I left my notes at home. Thank you.
Needless to say, Val was only on a trial training scheme herself and failed to inspire any of us with any expertise. But she did say something which set me thinking.
So, when filling in your CV, it is essential to demonstrate that you are a balanced, well-rounded individual. That's what they said to us in the detoxification clinic. Anyway, let's look at this dummy application which I asked you to fill in during our ninth coffee break this morning. Now, Helen, I noticed, for instance, where it says address, you've written of no fixed abode.
Yes, I'm moving soon. I didn't want to confuse.
Well, it might, and I'm only suggesting might, be better to put something else down, all right? You don't want them thinking you're a tramp, unnecessarily. And then, where it asks for your hobbies, you've put non-applicable.
Yes, that's right. It's non-applicable to me, because I don't have any.
Then may I seriously suggest you go and acquire some, quite soon. You see, this might be the nub of your problem. People need to talk about hobbies, otherwise they panic. Hands up anyone with a hobby. Yes, you, Simon.
Scuba diving, rock climbing, stamp collecting, old cars, flying, hiking, trampoline, skating, abseiling, skydiving, sumo wrestling, yoga.
Thank you, Simon. What a full and varied life you must lead, as one would expect from someone with your particular problem. Lying. Anyone else?
What do you recommend?
I find that weaving is very popular, for instance.
Done it.
As a non-threatening thing to fill in. The men will like that.
Weaving?
Yes. I mean, all right then, if you want to poo-poo weaving...
I didn't say I was going to do that. How unpleasant.
Do you do anything to relax, Helen? Leisure activities, wind downs?
No, I get a bit anxious relaxing. I prefer to be tense. I find that relaxing.
Let's have our 10th tea break now, everyone. Thank you. Take 5. I just need to go to the staff room to get my inhaler.
Well, after that, Val hyperventilated and had to be taken home. I am going on a weaving evening class, though, just to get the hobby thing sorted.
Hi, I'm Craig.
Hi.
I see you're new here tonight. Tell me your level, and then we can sort out a loom for you and that sort of thing. I expect you'll want to leave your anorak outside, won't you? We're all artists in here and very sensitive.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm just a beginner, actually. What do I need to know? Oh,
dearie, dear. I do try to keep beginners out of my class. I mean, this is a serious hobby, you know? We can't take people with a casual interest. I mean, we have to compete in the Amateur Hobby Weaving Championship in Mexico this year. Oh. We really need serious involvement, otherwise you're out, I'm afraid. We can't carry anyone.
Well, I wouldn't expect you to carry me. I'm quite heavy. Right. Do I need any sort of qualifications, then, if it's that sort of serious?
Well, look, as it's only a hobby class, we just tend to ask for a smattering of stuff. Let's say a PhD in colour formation, A-level sheep dipping, perhaps a City and Guilds in spinning and pattern cutting.
Right. Right. Where did you say I should put my anorak? Out here. I'll just weave my way out in the way.
As you might imagine, I don't plan to go back for more. So, seeing as I haven't got a hobby and I didn't get the market research vacancy, I better scour the evening paper for a quick and easy job for pure cash. Aha! Here we are. The very thing. I think this one is written for me and me alone. It says, out of work. Answer, yes. Enjoy meeting people? Answer, yes. Well, up to a point I do. Versatile looks? Answer, yes. I'm not sure what it means, but yes anyway. I mean, I know they're not normal, so that will probably do. Right. The Mayfair Club Mayfair for open interviews. Brilliant. Where are my car keys? So here I am outside what looks to be a very posh club in a side street, somewhere important looking.
Cooey, are you here for the interview?
Yes.
Come along in, then. You don't want to stand there attracting attention, do you?
Well, this is very nice, I must say.
Yeah, that's what they all say. Now, let's have you standing still while I take your measurements.
Oh, I'm sorry, there must be some misunderstanding. I've come about the job.
What size would you say you are, then? Let's cut corners and I'll point you in the general area.
Well, obviously I've put on a bit recently, but look, what's my size got to do with anything?
Let's not be huffy. It's not my fault if you don't look after yourself, is it? Here's yours, then. Should fit. Oh, a bit tight round the corners, so to speak, but it should do. Boss isn't fussy.
Oh, I see now what's happened. I'm here for the job, but I'm not interested in catering work. I've tried that before and I get in a panic with all the adding up.
It's not a catering job we're offering, dear.
Then why have you just handed me a maid's uniform? In fact, it looks like one of those dressing up ones for a child. It's so small.
That's how the customers like it, dear. All you have to do is sit with the punters, make sure they drink at least £100 a head worth of booze, and then we pay for your taxi home. Seems fair to me.
Right. Excuse me. I think I've forgotten something.
Phew. A near miss. I could easily have got hooked on being a waitress again, and that's something I got out of years ago. I know what I'll go for now. A traineeship in the I Can and I Will workshop. There must be a vacancy now that Val has hyperventilated. Should have thought of it earlier. What did I say it's all about? Kill or be killed. I'll be right there.
Was Life with Lederer, written and performed by Helen Lederer, featuring Amelia Bullmore, Malcolm Rayburn, James Quinn and Victoria Finney. It was produced in Manchester by Paul Z. Jackson.